step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 561. I am Lisa Sheps, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro. You're listening to us on KOOP, HD1, HD3, Hornsby, streaming live as we always do at KOOP.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up. This world, oh yeah.
Life ain't easy, life ain't fair.
Girls gotta fight for a rightful share. What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down, what you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips
it are is down. Wednesday, April 22nd, 2020, day 30-something of the coronavirus lock-in, quarantine, stay-at-home, no theater zone. On today's show, we're going to be speaking to Stuart Moulton, formerly of Austin, Texas, now in New York City, but still the creative director of Austin Cabaret Theater and former co-host of Offstage and On the Air. And then later we'll be speaking to Helen Marino and Ann Ciccolella, who are both doing their part to bring awareness of theater to the city of Austin. Stick with us after this song. All right, well, that was When the Chips Are Down from the Broadway musical Hadestown, which I believe it's having its one-year anniversary right now. Is that right, Nicole? Am I right about that?
I want to say you are correct about that because it was opening. I think it was closing in England right now and getting ready to come into previews on Broadway.
I'm pretty sure this is the one-year anniversary, which is why I did it. So singing in that song was Jewel Blackman, Yvette Gonzalez, Nacer, Kay Trinidad, and someone named Eva Noblezada.
Oh, you mean the star of The Yellow Rose with Dale Watson?
Well, The Yellow Rose of Texas. Well, Nicole, we missed you last week, and you and I have not shared the microphone for over a month now. So how's it? Tell folks how you're doing.
I'm here. I'm surviving. I've built some Legos since I'm not going to Tokyo this summer. I built Tokyo with Legos.
Yeah. And of course you did.
Yeah, I did. Broke my hand. So that's always fun in quarantine. Yeah. Tripped over the dog. I fell over Liza Minnelli.
Well, there's a story right there.
Right there.
So very good. So
over Liza Minnelli in the quarantine.
Love that song. Love that song. Well, I guess it's good that we're quarantined because there's not a whole bunch going on in the Broadway world. But we should talk about the fact that we did lose Brian Dennehy last week.
I know. And I have to tell you, I was very upset because I kept saying to my brother, why does this keep reading in every headline? Tommy Boy actor, Brian Dennehy dies. And I'm like, there was a lot more than Tommy Boy people.
Like, right. Two Tony Award winners.
Yeah. Yeah. So love Brian Dennehy.
So he was 81. We should say that this was not coronavirus related.
No.
But he won Tony's for Death of a Salesman with... what's his name? Oh my God. Philip Seymour Hoffman, right?
Was that the one with Philip? I think he did do it with Philip. I think you're right. Wow. What a great, I'm sorry. I missed that.
Me too. Well, you know, we've talked about Death of a Salesman here. Every time it's revived on Broadway, it gets
nominated.
It wins.
I know.
And anyway, so rest in peace, Brian Dennehy. Now we should have said this right at the top. You and I are recording this on Sunday, so many of the things that we don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 days. So things may have happened by the time we get on this.
Just saying. Things happen.
So one of the other things that I wanted to say, So I don't, did you see in the news, and this is really kind of old news, but we never did get to talk about it. So there was a fundraiser for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS that was going to Equity Fight, yeah, Broadway Cares Equity Fight AIDS, that all the unions said okay to, except for the musicians.
The musicians union. This is the Disney fundraiser, because they've had
No, it wasn't the Disney fundraisers. Oh, you're right. It is the Disney fundraiser.
This was
correct.
The Disney.
It was a re-airing of the Disney fundraiser.
Correct. And the musicians union was the only union that wouldn't play. And the musicians had signed over and told the union, "We don't want the money. Do it."
Correct.
And they said no the day of.
Yeah. I should say that we did talk about this last week, but what happened before the show aired, but after we recorded, was that the AF of M relented and said, okay, but still, yes. You know, shame on them to begin with.
It shouldn't have had to go that far. No, I was really irritated by that myself. And then I was like, oh, well, they finally caved in and said, you can do it. But I mean, a little too late.
Yeah.
Too late.
So it was sort of upsetting. And the other thing I want to talk about, and now this is coming up and they haven't scheduled it, but I'm very excited about it. Victory Gardens in Chicago did a production of Fun Home.
Yes.
That was, I believe, a Jeff Award winning Fun Home. And they are live streaming it very soon, but they haven't announced when yet.
I think that's exciting.
I'm excited. I'm going to watch it. And speaking of Fun Home, you and I talked about this, and I may have talked about this last week, or I may not have. I don't know. But Sandra May Frank played Joan in not only Ground Floor Theater's version of Fun Home, but also Jim Reynolds in Oklahoma. What's the name of his theater over there?
Lyric Theater.
The Lyric Theater, and also played at the Lyric in Oklahoma City. Also Joan. And Sandra May Frank was just on national television.
Man, she was in that Zoe's Extraordinary playlist. And she was so good. Her song was the best song that night for me. And what was really cool is that my mom hasn't watched that show. And she randomly stopped because she saw Mary Streenburgen. And she's like, what's she doing? And she watched the show and called me on the phone and said, I watched the show. This reminded me of what you did for Fun Home. This girl would have been perfect. I'm like, Mom, that was the girl in Lisa's Fun Home. And now she's been binge watching, and she's a huge Sandra May Frank fan.
Well,
and
yeah.
And, fan.
And that number was incredible. And again, I may have talked about this last week, but they did an entire number in American Sign Language with no audio interpretation and no subtitles, no closed caption, vocals. Which I think is amazing, because that's what we as hearing people experience is what deaf people experience on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. It was really moving. I was like I was in my house applauding. I had little tears in my eyes from like so happy. I was like, woo, party of one.
Pretty amazing. So listen, we don't have a whole bunch of time. I've got a whole bunch of stuff here. I'm going to take a little break here, play a song that I wanted to play last week, but forgot to. It's a Randy Rainbow song. He's been on fire. This is an older one. This was A Person Can Develop a Cold. So let's listen to Randy Rainbow.
Okay.
Thank you, Wolf. It is no secret that a dangerous, scary, and infectious disease has been dominating the news cycle of late, and it's here to chat with us now. President Trump, thank you so much for taking the time. Sir, you originally called the coronavirus a democratic hoax. Now that it has become a major health crisis around the world, do you regret that response?
That's just a continuation of the hoax, whether it's the impeachment hoax or the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax. This is what I'm talking about. Certainly not referring to this. How could anybody refer to this? This is very serious stuff. And that's the hoax. That's what I'm talking about.
But, sir, the state of this bug is blurry. Everyone's hypertense, anxious, afraid, unsettled, and upset.
I want to thank Mike Pence and everybody for the job they're doing. We have a great team.
You tell us not to worry. Passing the ball to Pence? Politicizing a global pandemic threat.
There's no reason to panic. You'll be fine.
In other words, while you're worrying more for your own re-election bid, a person could develop COVID. You can say it's a con, but the stock market's still on its way to hell. You can call it a hoax, but it's hard to make jokes when there's no Purell. While your goal is deflection from this new infection that you can't spell, a person could develop a cold.
At President Trump's direction, this is an all-hands-on-deck effort.
A parasite such as this one latches on to its host, typically getting thrown under the bus.
This morning we talked a great deal about additional medical supplies.
Acting like a physician, hoping to hold its post while osculating the gluteus maximus.
From the moment that this country learned of the spread of the coronavirus, President Donald Trump took decisive action.
In other words, just from kissing Trump's by indulging his ego trips, a person can develop chapped lips.
We're all in this together.
He can pray every day till the gay goes away. Hey, it's worth a shot. He can climate deny till the oceans are dry and the earth gets hot. But if praying that deadly diseases don't spread is the best he's got, some persons could develop a cold. Let's see. It says here, of spreading coronavirus, currently risk is low. Turn off the lights and hide, though, just in case. That doesn't sound terribly comforting. Lock yourself in your bathroom. Scrub till your tendons show. But don't touch your hands, the faucet, the soap, or your face. My God, what have I done? In other words, from too much information and not enough testing kits, a person can develop this shit. You can spray all the hand sanitizer wherever the virus lurks. But good luck finding any on Amazon or Bath and Body Works. If the experts assembled to save you are led by a bunch of jerks, a person can develop a cold.
Fast-moving developments in the coronavirus outbreak.
And furthermore, just from Googling symptoms until you've become obsessed, I have that. A person can get very depressed. So you calm yourself down while surrounded by all your home remedies. And you click on your favorite Real Housewives to put your poor mind at ease. Blow up your phone with alerts every time they hear someone sneeze. Girl, a person can develop a tick. Ow, a crick. Oh, or make himself sick. From the wiping, overhyping, and a POTUS who acts like a from a lack of intelligent leadership and a headline that's getting real old.
Pandemic.
A person can develop a bad, bad cold.
You'll be fine.
Girl, get tested.
Love the Randy. He has been on fire. He's been like a Twitter happy spot for me.
He really is. It's amazing that I always feel like I discovered him because I listened to him and watched him before he got
blew up. Yeah.
And he did a few songs, but most of his stuff are these fake interviews. Mm-hm. Like he loved to interview Liza Minnelli.
Love to.
And I don't and I mean the dog. Him.
It's so funny. When I watch all these videos people are making now, I sit in my house and I'm like, well, they have spare time. And then I laugh and I'm like, oh, yeah, we all have spare time.
We all have spare time.
That's why they're all so good right now.
So the last thing I want to talk about before we listen to our guest, Stuart Moulton, is did you see that Michael Urie is streaming Buyer and Seller?
Buyer and Seller. Yes, I did. And it inspired me to pull out the actual Barbara Coffee Table book.
Well,
and for through it, because you know what? I have spare time.
Yeah. Well, for you and I, it airs tonight. For those people listening to this, I'm sorry you missed it. It was last Sunday night.
I'm wondering if they might do something again. Well, it's been in the news all week, so hopefully people are like, I did watch it, and they're saying that as they listen right now.
It's also going to be on YouTube, so it may have a life there for a while.
It might.
You never know. Well, you and I talked to Stuart Moulton. You want to listen to that interview?
Yeah, let's listen to Stuart again.
Here it is. All right, folks, guess who we have? This is like an all-hosts show because we are joined by former co-host of Offstage and On the Air, Mr. Stuart Moulton, all the way from
Hello, Palm Beach, California.
Palm Springs, Palm whatever.
I feel like I need to go get my air horn out and shoot it off for you.
So, Stuart,
we did have earthquakes the other night, so it could very well be Palm Beach pretty soon if the rest of California falls off.
So, Stuart, tell our audience who hasn't heard from you in several years what you've been up to.
Oh gosh, well, right now, quarantining out here in Palm Springs, we hightailed it out to my sister's house. I'll tell you that story in a second. But I'm getting I'm working on a fabulous, what I'm calling my quarantine out here. So things, you know, looks good at least. Still running Austin Cabaret Theater. We will be in our 20th season this fall.
My gosh. So exciting.
Well. Yeah. So that, doing some artist management, still doing my circus career in New York, teaching and coaching flying trapeze there.
I saw you in November. You were coming from trapeze class.
That's right. That's right.
Well, let's talk about Austin Cabaret Theater for a while. I know you had to cancel one
postpone.
Yeah. Postpone.
Yeah, we had last month we were scheduled to bring in Queenie Van De Zandt, who is an Australian kind of musical theater superstar over there.
She's from Down Under, Lisa. She's Down Under.
And I've been a fan of hers for years, and I've been trying to get her here for about the last 3 years. And so finally, it was all going to work out. We had kind of worked with her management team in putting together this little mini tour. She was going to do some dates in Florida. We had two in Texas scheduled for her, including Austin Cabaret Theater, and a couple nights at Birdland in New York. And I think there was one other in Maine that she was going to do. And of course, then this pandemic hit, and one by one, the venues were being closed, and we had to close ours also. And the hotel where we put our guest artists up, which is fantastic, at the Grand Duke Hotel in Austin, closed their doors until now. It looks like they're staying closed through the summer.
Yeah.
And I believe that was that came down from the governor to that they had to. I'm not sure if it was.
Well, no, if you listen to our governor, we should be opening our doors tomorrow. But
But the scientists saw that also last night. I saw that on the news last night. I just shook my head. I was like, yeah.
So when you finally do come back, what is the next Austin Cabaret Theater offering that you're planning to bring here?
Well, it would be at the end of this month, but that's been pushed back also, which is a group called Those Girls, which is a all-girl harmony group that does the most ridiculous mashups, hysterical. Karen Mack, who's one of the founders of the group, she and Michael Holland have been down to Austin Cabaret a couple times early in our career, as it were. Right. And they, you know, do kind of the same thing, really clever, thoughtful, funny mashups of both popular Great American Songbook and Broadway, sometimes all within the same mashup. Incredibly fun stuff. And we have pushed them back tentatively until the end of May, last Thursday in May, but I am wondering if that's actually going to happen. It's kind of up in the air right now. May is iffy. But for our 20th anniversary, we're going to roll those over a little bit. Of course, the season ticket holders that'll still be included in their season ticket package, naturally. It looks like end of September we will have Queenie back. That's what we're working on right now. And if not during the summer, with those girls. We'll bring them back at some point the following season as well. And in addition to that, you guys are kind of hearing this first. We haven't even announced yet.
We're accustomed to breaking news here at Offstage.
I know it. What is also
on like, we're hard hitting breaking news. Come on, Stuart.
That's right. That's right. We will have, I will be doing a new show, which is a little bit of a retrospective of our past 20 years. It is called Stretch Marks.
Oh,
20 years of celebrating and surviving.
Oh my God.
It's called Stretch Marks, 20 years of celebrating and surviving the divas I've produced. So that'll be fun and some good inside scoop and stories and a song and a little bit of dance. So that's going to be, I think that's going to be really, really fun. I've currently, if again, with the coronavirus thing, everything's sort of up in the air right now. With everyone's schedules, I have Ron Abel, the brilliant Ron Abel, on board to music direct it, which I'm really excited about. He is Lucy Arnaz's music director. He directs Valerie Pettiford's show, as well as the Sophisticated Reunion show that I represent, with all those stars from Broadway's Sophisticated Ladies. So that's that I'm really excited about. We've also got Beth Level coming back, Tony Award winner Beth Level coming back with her new show. Yeah, very excited about that. I'm trying to think what else we have formally or informally secured.
Let me ask you this. Will you promise to come on the show next time you come in town?
Oh my God, yes.
You haven't physically been on the show in ages.
And no.
We miss you.
Yeah, and part of that is with our schedule at the Cabaret and with my teaching schedule in New York, because, you know, nonprofit theater, you know, I can go to Tahiti on that paycheck. That was sarcasm, folks.
Yeah.
I've come in, you know, at the last minute and going out at the very first moment I can after we've done the show, just to not disrupt my teaching schedule, thus my income in New York. Speaking of nonprofit theaters, what is happening with you, Ms. Sheps, and Ground Floor?
We don't have a whole bunch of time on the air to talk about it, but Ground Floor Theater is, like all the theaters here, shut down. We have an online presence. We're doing, as a matter of fact, we're doing a, we call it a Zoom reading series, which our next one, well, we're recording this on Saturday. So by the time this airs, it will have already happened, but, we are actually premiering on YouTube, Raul Garza's There and Back that we did last season. We had a professional video, and that will be premiering on Thursday. So thank you for asking.
Oh, congrats. Great, Lisa. That's great. I'm so glad to hear that. And the thing, as you mentioned, you know, all the theaters now are closed. Broadway closed down on Wednesday. It was like March 11th or something like that, right? I hope the two things that come out of this quarantine are, A, that teachers get paid what they should be making and what they're worth, because I think a lot of parents are realizing what a difficult job our educators have in this country.
Yeah.
And how little they get for that. And secondly, what I hope comes out of this is the next time the damn rounds of funding come around for the arts, I hope everybody realizes how the arts have gotten everyone through this mess. What are people turning to online, and what are artists giving free of their time to do? Entertain people via Skype or Zoom or, you know, YouTube videos and all of that to make this quarantine a little more bearable. And I really damn well hope our legislators realize that that is what has gotten us through this mess.
True that. I hope you are correct. Well, Stuart, thank you so much for talking to us again. We do miss you here
thank
in Austin,
you.
But we're proud of
I
everything you've
you
been
guys.
Doing in New York.
Thank you. I have the best of both worlds. I can, you know, have my career in New York and then come back and present these fabulous guest artists at Austin Cabaret and open them up a new fan base there and get to see all my friends.
Well, great. Well, we look forward to seeing you in person next time you're in town.
I love you guys. I love Offstage and On the Air. Support this radio station.
Go, Stuart.
There you go. And some of that we can even leave on the air.
I love you guys.
Love you too.
Love you, Stuart.
Bye. All right. Bye.
Okay. We love our Stuart Moulton. We miss him.
Zoom, zoom. I love him.
So I have to, you just said zoom, zoom, zoom. Before we went on the air with his thing, you were, well, let me just play this.
Okay.
What was the song that used to be zoom, zoom, zoom?
No, I'm gonna zoom, 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 zoom,
zoom, zoom, zoom, zoom.
Come on and zoom, zoom, zoom,
zoom, zoom, zoom.
Yeah, what was that? What was that on?
It was a show called Zoom.
It was the show called Zoom.
So I just had to, it didn't really make sense for it to be in the interview itself. So I just had to play it here so folks could listen to Stuart and I singing zoom, 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 zoom.
Because it was been in my head and I was all confused and you cleared it up and those memories, they were real.
Let's take a break right now and we will come back very soon.
Welcome to our Saturday Night Seder. We've got a lot to talk about and even more to eat. Take your shoes off, hang your coat up, there's the bathroom, have a seat. So you're stressed by all the stories that you hear on cable news. Well, it's time to trade the cable for a table full of Jews. This night is always different from every other night. There's a smidgen of religion, but we're keeping that part light. Tonight is even stranger than the average Pesach meal because we're trapped in our apartments and the plagues are effing real. Dying, dying, enough's enough's enough. So the world's a bit fakakta, still we've been through tougher stuff. Dying,
dying,
in truth it's been a lot, but my goodness, let's be grateful for the good things that we've got. Dying, dying,
we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello, it's Shiro and Sheps, Sheps and Shiro. Hello, here entertaining
we're
you.
Back. So we have an interview with Ann Ciccolella and
Helen Marino.
Thank you. I just blanked and Helen Marino, which we're going to be listening to in a second. But I do want to talk about some things that have happened locally here that we didn't get to talk about last week. And one and most tragic is we lost two huge theater, Austin theater icons. About 3 weeks ago now, one was Valdo Perez,
yes.
And the other was Frank Binge. They died the same week. Frank, folks may know, he's an actor around town, but he's most recently known as running BroadwayWorld.com, all the reviews. And Valdo Perez has been around forever as a performer.
It's how you and I know each other and Stuart. It's our connection.
It's how we met. We met at his birthday party 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to say rest in peace, both of those people. They'll really, really be missed. And Frank has been on the show. I'm not sure whether Valdo has been on the show or not.
You know what's so funny is after I got off with you and Stuart and I was thinking about Valdo, I was wondering, has he ever been on the show? I did children's theater with Valdo.
You did?
Did you come see the Clown Prince at Scottish Rite?
No, I think the only thing I saw you do was James and the Giant Peach.
Oh, Valdo and I were a gypsy and a magician that ran around the castle together. Yeah, it was Valdo and I having a good time. They pulled me into that whole Scottish Rite. That's how I got into Scottish Rite Children's Theater, was from Valdo and Rone.
Awesome. Not oddly enough, Stuart Moulton directed a production of, oh my God, the pageant that he was in. And Stuart had to go somewhere one night and he asked me to fill in for him as director. And so I did. And Valdo did not like that at all because I gave him direction.
I think someone was posting after Valdo passed, I think on Facebook, someone was posting some really great video clips of that performance of his.
Yeah, it was good.
Definitely the life of the party.
Yep. And before we get to Stuart's interview, I want to talk about Brown Paper Tickets. And another shame on
them. Shame, right?
And brown paper tickets is what many people use as a ticketing service. And we don't use them, and I'm glad we didn't, but they had a deal where the production did not get any money until the production was over and reconciled about 2 weeks after the show closed.
Right.
Consequently, those shows that were going on during the shutdown, they still haven't been paid their money. And no. Brown Paper Tickets is holding on to it.
And the people who have purchased tickets, so it's a double conundrum. So those people haven't been paid that are owed money from their events, plus the people who have purchased further out are not getting their money refunded either. So it's a double payment conundrum of shame, shame. But I'm going to throw a third one in there, shame.
Absolutely shame on Brown Paper Tickets. And, you know, the ticket service we use, they every time a ticket is sold, they take a little cut of it and send us immediately the money.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be done. And then, anyway, but Brown Paper Tickets has no, and I understand that they're not having an easy time right now either.
No, most of the ticket agencies aren't, but everybody's been pretty good about talking to people or being communicative or trying to help. Brown Paper Tickets has been the shame, and StubHub and the Major League Baseball have been the other shame because they're considering the games rainouts and not refunding any money. And they still have tickets for sale for games like that are going for $700-$800 for games that are scheduled 3 weeks from now. Shame on the Major League Baseball.
Yep. This is why I don't watch baseball. That's exactly the reason.
Those are the two that I've been like, what is wrong with you? Even my football season tickets called me and postponed our payments and said we don't have to pay right now.
Yep.
I mean.
So, yeah. So that's all very interesting. And the other thing that I want to talk about, which is when we talk about coming back to life, and our president right now is prematurely saying we should come back to life. But I think theaters are going to be the last on the list to be able to get back into business. And
I
even
agree.
Then, we'll audiences the are going to be reluctant to come.
Yeah.
There is an article in American Theater Magazine, which you can click on the link, all about this. That will be on the link at offstageonair.com. So it's going to be a very interesting time for the next who knows how long.
It's interesting. I've said it to my brother. I said theaters will probably be last, even after movie theaters and things. And then again, what does that look like? Will people go? Do you still seat the same? Like, what is that?
Yeah,
it's interesting.
So moving forward and looking ahead to when we are all open, and I just want to focus on our next interview, which was with Anchelle Colella and Helen Marino, talking about how we can get people to understand that Austin is a theater city.
Yes. That was a great conversation.
Well, let's listen to it now. Well, through the miracle of Zoom, we have two people here in Austin that are fighting very hard to try to make sure that the rest of Austin knows that theater exists. It's one of the things that's still going on despite this COVID-19 oppression that's going on. And I've got Ann Chiclella with Austin Shakespeare.
Thank you for having us. What a great idea.
Well, every now and then I have good ideas. And I have Helen Marino with the Gateway Theater Project. Hi, Helen.
Hi.
And of course, Nicole is here too. We just need to make sure people know you're here since we're all audio.
Hello, we're all here.
Hello. So, Helen, let's start with you. The Gateway Project was something that you started a while back and had a very successful project just recently. Can you tell folks about what it is and why you started it?
Yeah, well, it's so funny because it's we finished our first, what we call experiment, but I'm sure the rest of the world would just call production. We finished it like 7 days before lockdown. So we got in just under the wire. But the whole idea was to try to bring to cultivate new audiences, but in very small batches. We staged a beautiful production of a new script, a new adaptation of Ghosts in a very fancy home in Clarksville. Some people who are insane and generous donated their house for 3 weeks. And we would bring in about 20 people a night. And 10 of the people were people who were enthusiastic theater supporters, and each of the 10 people would bring with them one person who doesn't go to see theater. And that person would come in for free. And at the end of the evening, we had a mixer with hosted by one of the local theater companies. And then people would leave with a ticket to the next show that that theater company was producing. And the whole idea was to get them into that second theater experience as quickly as possible, because there's a sort of magical thing that happens when they're in such close proximity to the action. They're all sort of, everybody seems sort of drunk afterwards on theater, especially the new people. And so if you hand them a ticket, then their plan is already made. And then that second show, they're allowed to bring someone in and mentor into that experience. And therefore that sort of upgrades their personal identity from someone on the outside of the community to someone on the inside of the community who's advocating for it. It was a great idea. And we really did get so much great response from the new folks. We've got a lot of emails are like, that changed me for life. I've never had anything like that happen to me before. And then of course everything closed down. And so I don't want to say we're back to square one, but we're sort of backed up half a square of having to sort of re-engage these people that we engage.
But those people have been touched. But I think it's a great thing. They have been touched. And, and you know, as those of us who are in theater know that it just takes a little spark to light that fire. Yeah. So perhaps that is. So tell me, what was the impetus to starting? What made you do it?
Funny, it was a number of things. You know, in my brain, I remember in this super like story like linear way, but I'm sure it wasn't that. I'm sure it was like a couple of different things sort of mixing and percolating over time. But the thing I remember as one of the sparks was talking to Anne Chigalella, having coffee with her, and her saying something about needing to get people to think of Austin as a theater town, which struck me as odd at first because I thought we are a theater town. But it's like, well, you think that because you're a theater person and you know how much good theater is here. And then about that time, I had seen this production of Ghost on digital theater, which is a great streaming resource, by the way. And it was just hanging out in my mind, and I felt like everybody should see it because it was just so compelling. And I couldn't imagine somebody sitting in and watching that show and being like, meh. And then I'm also just a person who is usually engaged in some sort of like layperson version of wonky neuroscience reading. And so there was a lot of stuff about like switching a person's identity and how to sort of make change in your life last. And so I think the three things were kind of cooking together. And then I walked into a friend's house who has this very fancy house and thought, ooh, we could stage that ghost in here. And it just sort of, it started that way. And then each time a problem would rear its head of like, well, how would you fix that? And I'm like, oh, well, you bring these people in, you bring the community in. How would you bring the community in? How do you get these people? This is how you get the. And so it was just sort of this rolling problem solving. And then by the end of it, it just came together as a sort of coherent plan.
Well, that's wonderful. I was really, really happy to hear of all the success that you had with the project.
Memorable. I'll never forget it.
And you'll keep going. And were you able to participate in it? Did you see it?
I did. We were one of the first groups. We were doing Ibsen's Hedda, which is the last time, Lisa, you and Nicole had me on the show, and the last time I saw Nicole. But our dates were exactly the same, except Helen had a evening performance on a Sunday, and we had a Sunday matinee. So we were lucky enough to be the first Sunday. And it was just wonderful. It was a room that I knew very well because it used to be the place where we had our board meetings.
Ah.
So it had, but it really was transformed. The group was so excited to be doing it. They were so committed. Yeah. The cast was so committed. And we had lots of theater people in our audience that night, but everybody was really sort of over the moon at the experience.
Well, that's great. And Anne, I know that you and I have talked a lot about the fact that that Austin is not a theater town. And you have just amassed a group of the theater community together just recently in what's tentatively called, you know, ATX Theater, hashtag ATX Theater. Tell us how that came about and tell us how those things are going and what you are achieving, what you plan to achieve.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Lisa, you were saying, I thought, and I just wanted to check, that you've had this idea for 15 years. Is that how long you've been in Austin theater, in and out, or?
Pretty much. Yeah. So I discovered that when I first moved here, when you and I first met, when I opened my first theater, and I discovered how insular the theater community was at the time. Yes. And how I was getting very little support.
Community love.
Right. So, you know, a few companies were welcomed me with open arms. You were one, and Bonnie at the Vortex was another one. So, yeah. So I've been talking about it for a while. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I just want to clarify this distinction that both Helen and you made about Austin is a theater town and Austin isn't a theater town. So I think they're both true. It's according to who you're talking to, right?
Yeah, so, I could see that.
Nicole, do you want to explain that a little bit?
Well, I mean, we do have one of the largest, I guess it's a matter of who it's in front of and who has access to it. I think everyone has access to it, but I don't think they realize they have access to it. So when you're in it, you see how big it is. But if someone hasn't taken you there, you don't realize there's this whole other world existing within your world.
Yeah. When I put this group together, and, you know, Lisa, I've been thinking about putting this group together since Mark Seraph mentioned it now, oh my God, almost a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because I asked him, he's a Broadway producer now, investor, what did he learn coming back? And he said, I learned that Austin is a theater town, but Austin doesn't know it.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So the general public, when they go traveling to Chicago or LA or on business, are going to the theater in other cities. But when they come back to Austin, they're doing other things. You know, Austin has a lot to do, of course. So it's about spreading that word. The exciting thing, we've just had a couple of Zoom meetings because, you know, we had the time and people wanted to do it. Lisa, we've seen 35 theater companies participate actively. I think that's amazing.
And the amazing part about that, Anne, is that's only really a third of the theater companies here.
Yeah.
But pretty much everyone that we've asked has participated. One company said, you know, we're kind of on hiatus and we're doing films now, so we'll do theater again another time, but thank you for inviting us, and so on. So the more the merrier. So Lisa, if there are more companies that you think we ought to invite, please do that yourself, or let me know, or whatever works for you.
Well, listening to this and they wanted to email or find information, who should they email? Where should they go? What could they do? How do they get hold of you?
I think through Lisa. I mean, I think that Offstage and On the Air, if you don't mind, Lisa, would be a wonderful magnet for people who are hearing about it. Eventually, I think we will reach out to actors, designers, craftspeople, audience members who want to participate. But we are just in the very, very early stages at this point.
Sure, folks. So if anybody wants to be, if you're a theater company or a theater professional, actually, we're looking right now at people that have companies. You can go ahead and email me at lisa@offstageonair.com and I'll get you in touch with the group. And Anne, I'm so proud of the work that you've done. And, you know, one of the things that I've been doing in my theater, Ground Floor Theater, for this entire season is when I do my curtain speech, I make the audience promise to tell a friend that theater exists. And I make them say it out loud. It's quite
great.
Fun.
I was about to say, you make them say it out loud, Lisa.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's how passionate I feel about this. And I go back to when I first moved here. And at the time, Austin Creative Alliance was Austin Circle of Theaters, of which you were the executive director at one point, Anne. But what I found amazing was that list on ACOT of theater companies. And, you know, snobby me coming from New York and Chicago was just gobstopped, whatever that word is I'm trying to come up with.
Gobsmacked.
Thank you. About the amount of theater companies here. But flash forward, when I look in my theater and I look at the audience, I'm always seeing the same faces. So we have a lot of work.
I think there's also, you know, theater. I think the word theater is sometimes scary to people who have never been. And I really have to say to people, there is something for everyone. Not every show is everyone's cup of tea, but I promise you, there's a piece of theater, there's a work, a musical, a play. There is something out there that will touch everyone. And it's just a matter of finding your jazz. For as much as I love theater, there's theater sometimes I don't like. But the experience is still there. And until someone experiences it, experiences it, they're not going to understand that. There's something exciting and mesmerizing and magnetic, just like there is when you hear music. There's the same type of bonding in an audience with theater. There's something about live performance that really can touch everyone in a different way.
Yep. Helen, you're going to say something.
Yeah, I was. That actually brought up a couple things I was just thinking about in the shower, where I do all my great thinking.
Me too.
So one of the things I was thinking about in there is the idea of volition, and so much of our messaging, this does connect to what you're saying, Nicole. So much of the messaging of theater, if we think, is like we have to convince people to want to come see our show that we're doing right now, or we have to convince them to go see theater, which there is a choice in there, but it's not a really compelling choice. You're basically saying, would you like to stop doing the thing you're already doing and come see this? It's just not a very exciting choice. But if somehow in the messaging, and it's maybe a little bit easier now that the companies are sort of connecting in this way, if we put it forward in the messaging more that, would you like to go see this sort of show? Would you like to go see this, this, this? So then all of a sudden, especially at a time when people feel powerless, the idea of having a choice is really exciting and valuable. And so, but the choice becomes this, there's like abundance to choose from. And then it's not about see theater or not see theater. It's just a matter of which theater that they see.
I think of
it also implants the idea of like, look, you're not going to love everything. Because when people go see a movie that they don't like, they don't think they don't like movies. They just think they don't like that movie. But if somebody goes see a play that they don't like, they're like, see, I knew it. I hate theater.
Yeah, true. Well, we're almost running out of time. And you wanted to say something.
All I wanted to bring up was the old-fashioned Whitman sampler candy box. You could like nuts, you could like creams, you could like the cherry cordial. So I think that, Helen, really, that is something to bring to our group to say part of our values is the variety and span of choices.
Sure. And Helen, is there a place where people can go get information about the Gateway Theater Project?
Yeah, they can go to gatewaytheaterproject.com, and we do spell theater R-E.
Yep.
I don't know why. I grew up on PBS. I'm sure it has something to do with that. So
Gateway That's the proper Project. Spelling for offstage.
That's the proper
audiences.
Spelling the way we spell it, so you're good.
Okay, fair enough.
And Anne, if people wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
AustinShakespeare.org. There we are. They could go to info@AustinShakespeare.org, and we'll send them lots of info about a lot of projects that we're doing even now.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Anne Ciclella of Austin Shakespeare and Helen Marino of the Austin Gateway Project, Austin Gateway Theater
Gateway
Project.
Theater.
Helen, I should say that you're a wonderful performer and doing a lot of work with a lot of different theater companies as well. So mazel tov for that.
Thank
you guys for being on the show.
Nice
Thanks
to see you
it.
And hear you.
Yeah, thank you for coming on today.
Thank you, Nicole. Right. We love offstage and on the air.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, wasn't that great conversation?
That was a great conversation. And you know what? We are plumb out of time. So that's it, folks. I don't know what's coming on after us. I don't think it's Austin Monitor News this week. But you can get information from us at offstageonair.com. And there is no backstage at offstage. So there. but do subscribe through iTunes or right on our website.
And leave comments. Tell us how much you like us.
Please.
We like that.
So in my wanderings around the YouTubes, I found the Danny Kaye Show. And I don't remember the Danny Kaye Show, but I watched this episode and oh my God, it was so wonderful. And he did a whole stint on Broadway stuff. And I do want to let you guys listen to one piece. It was called My Fair Umpire. And it was him and Lovelady Powell. Lovelady Powell was a singer and actress known for I Never Sang for My Father, The Possession of Joel Delaney, and The Happy Hooker. And she died in February of this year. But anyway, so this is a piece from a spoof on My Fair Lady, but he also did in the same episode, but I couldn't find a recording of it, West Side Story and other things. And just really funny. So let's listen to Lovelady Powell and Danny Kaye singing My Fair Umpire. And we're going to have to fade this out early because we're going to run out of time. But just let's listen to a little bit of it. Here it is.
Excitement here. We have lost our self-control. We fear at this gripping, absolutely ripping, tally-hope, ripping, baseball match. Hurrah!
Boo, boo, boo! Bad form, bad form, bad form. Did you see that chap out there, dear? Instead of running to the next base like a gentleman, he went sliding along the ground and got dirt all over his nice, clean uniform. He's ruined it. It's dirty. Bad, bad manners. Shocking manners. Liza, you're not interested at all. Don, 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 don. Why can't a woman be more like a fan? After all, baseball is a fascinating pastime, acknowledged and enjoyed by everyone. It is only sure to please you. It will set your mind at ease. You will discover its ability to fill you with tranquility, as inning after inning makes no matter who is winning. You will notice you are grinning, and you find that you're beginning to have fun.
What inning is it?
Not hinning, inning.
Ah!
What a shocking sound.
Did they get a it?
Not it. Hit. How many times must I tell you? It's not it's in a hinning. It's hits in a ninning. It's nints in a glinning. It's flings in a blinning.
Ah! That chap on the sack there, when the ball was hit in the air, why didn't he move from the sack?
He's grown accustomed to the base.
Don't like it.
Pity. Boo, boo, carry him, huh? Shocking, Bounder. Shocking. Don't just sit there. Carry on. How many times must I tell you, dear, the aim of the game is mainly to complain.
The aim of the game is mainly to complain.
And what is the aim of the game?
To complain. Yes. To complain.
And how do we complain?
Take aim.
Right.
Take aim.
By George, she got him.